Well, good morning. It's a real joy to be here at Eagles Landing. I can go on and on about my experiences with Pastor Tim. I will say, as he mentioned our beloved Falcons, we're about to do it again. But you know, I've had the good fortunes of working with the organization. I was actually drafted by them years and years, 1,000 years ago. And I've been now doing their In Brotherhood campaign there with the Falcons. And over the past 3 to 4 years, we've created fan engagement videos to bring inspiration to the fan base and prep us in the season and through the season. And we actually just shot the first one for this year that we'll release this week. And so, if we don't win, don't blame me. Love the Falcons. Full disclosure this morning, as Pastor Tim mentioned, I don't think I'm loud. I think I'm passionate and loud. You know, I tend to wear my devotion and my love for Jesus on my sleeve. I think all of us are passionate about our faith. I just tend to flaunt mine a little bit more. I thoroughly enjoy it. Of course, the greatest individual in all of history. And I've never met anyone quite like him. I never will. I am not the same as a result of meeting him. That's not accidental. As I said earlier, I like to warn you, I am two things if I'm nothing else. I'm a sweater and a spitter. All you front row folks. You know, I Pastor Jim don't want me to do it. I'm going to go fast. Billy Lord, I see, and Cassie, how are you, darling? Oh, I so enjoy your text messages of those glorious, encouraging passages I received. You just blessed my soul. I look forward to them daily. Do not stop. Yes. We've done so much, Pastor Tim. We go all over the place with Get Real and with Scott Davis and our We're getting the band back together this summer, aren't we, Billy? Going to Orlando for a conference, and I'm eager. And the most thing I enjoy the most is the bus ride. Oh, we're all cramped up on the bus, and we're just loving each other, encouraging one another, and sharing stories, and we're eating all that good traveling food. Don't you just eat so good on the road? I just love it. So I'm excited about that adventure once again. I'm just so thrilled. And again, I can't thank Pastor Tim for having me. I'm honored. It's a blessing. My darling wife, I don't know. Where are you, darling? Are you here, Stephanie? Is she here? I don't know. She's so teeny tiny. I can't. Yeah. She's here, I certainly assure you. She's here. And I'm so thankful she's joined me here this morning with me here at Eagles Landing. You know, let me say this, you know, my mother, who is now 75 years of age, and she loves me. I'm her baby. I'm 51. I'll be 52 in October, but I'm still my mama's baby. I am, and I love every second of it. Yeah, I do. And she says to me, she says, you know, I'm 75, and she says, you're 51. And when I was 14, I could never imagine being 51. And now I'm 51. And then she says, you know, there are a lot of other things that come with being 51. Oh, she understated that. I now need glasses. And these are reading glasses, of course, and I discovered that I've needed them. My wife said, "This goes to our doctor, we need to go get examined, etc." So I just needed some reading glasses, things I don't see as clearly as I used to, and now I have them, and I've never worn glasses, never picked up a pair, and I picked them up. My wife wears glasses, has worn them since she was little, and I'll say more about that. And when I put these on and I look, whoa, I could see it, I could read it clearly, amazing. Whew, I love my glasses. Yeah, I used to play professional football and I was young and vigor and I could run, jump real high, lift all of those weights and all of those things. And I have football players that I mentor and do ministry with at the Georgia Institute of Technology. I've been there 18 years plus, and I see those physical specimens as they run around and they're so young, and I always tell them, boy, you don't know what you have. Mercy. Those Georgia Bulldogs over there, I'll tell a story about those Bulldogs in a moment as I go through, but I know all of those players, and my goodness, I've gotten older. And my mother would say, if you think you're 51, she said, keep on living. And you're going to have more trouble with than just your eyesight. And she said that lovingly. So I now wear reading glasses, Billy. You never thought you'd see these, did you? Yeah. But I take seriously my ability to see, my joy of being able to see. I take it very seriously. And I used to have near perfect vision. I don't anymore. It has become most recent that I've required the assistance of just some reading glasses. Even in my career as a running back, and I've played on every level, and I found how important it was to have great vision. For a running back, it's his gift. My ability to see vertically, horizontally, in a panoramic way, my ability to see peripherally well while moving. And when 310-pound defensive tackles are chasing you, you learn to see. I had the good fortunes of playing with the great running back Barry Sanders. Those of you old enough to know of him, he was an extraordinary talent. He was even more extraordinary as an individual had you known him. I locked up right next to him for multiple years in Michigan there at Detroit. And Barry was phenomenal in his ability to see things that others had challenges seeing. It was his gift. He was spellbound you with his ability to be in one place and recognize there's room on the other side and physically be able to get there because he could see it. It's amazing what vision does for us. It's truly a gift, and I'm so grateful that I have vision. And sometimes all of us from time to time, we may need some assistance with our sight, as we sometimes with other physical challenges that we may experience. Nothing wrong with that. I'm gloriously enjoying getting older. I don't want to be young anymore. I don't. I remember it too well. So I'm enjoying moving to that next level in my life. But I value my vision so much that I don't leave home without my glasses. I remember the old American Express commercial filmed back in the 70s through the 90s. Carl Malden, if you're old enough to remember, working with Federal Express, he was the spokesperson for Federal Express, and he would often end with that great slogan, "Don't leave home without it." I'm here to tell you, I don't leave home without these. I don't. I treasure my vision. And my wife and oldest daughter, as I said, they've had glasses pretty much the majority of their lives. And I understand why. Unlike I never have before. My mother told me, you'll understand more the older you get. I'm learning it even at 51, 52 now. God bless you. God, 52 in October. I'm thrilled to get there. Can't wait to see it. But I do want to read for you quickly, found in John chapter 9. It's a fascinating Bible chapter. There's this long discourse or debate about how a blind man was given his sight. It's a beautiful passage. It's a great debate taking place and happening among many people in this verse. Now, I'm only going to read the first 15 verses. There's some 38 to 40 I want to read. Time won't permit. I would certainly implore you to read them at your leisure. According to John 9, as he passed by, he saw a blind man, a man blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither did this man sin, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. When I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed his eyes with the clay and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." He went away therefore and washed and came seeing. Woo! The neighbors therefore, and they that saw him aforetime that he was a beggar, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Others said, "It is he." Others said, "No, it's not him, but he is like him." Keep those connotations in mind as I go forward. He said, "No, I am he. I was the blind beggar." They said therefore unto him, "How then were thine eyes opened?" They are questioning and contesting his blindness. Keep this in mind as we move forward. He answered, "The man that is called Jesus made clay." Ooh, listen to his story. I've got chills. I've got them all over me right now. You know, he said, listen to this. He says, "The man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me." It's interesting. He's clearly communicating his experience with this Jesus. He is not missing any. He's not blinking. There are no gaps in his testimony. There's no hiccups in what he's saying. He's not stuttering as he says it. He's not even afraid who's listening. He says, "I've got to tell you a grand story." Woo! "The man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received my sight. And they said unto him, 'Where is he?' He said, 'I know not.'" Mercy. "They bring to the Pharisees him that after time was blind. Now it was the Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Again, therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight." Mercy. "And he said to them," he put clay, he's going to tell them for the third time, he's going to tell them again, "He put clay upon mine eyes and washed, and I see." We ought to just, let me just take a breath there for mercy. Well, it's a great debate happening as a result of a man testifying of what Jesus has done for him. Man, I go and examine my own life. Have I become a witness? Have I become one who will go and talk about how Jesus made a blind man see? Mercy, I don't know about you, But I'm so convicted when I read this text of this passionate blind man, this blind former beggar. There's a great debate going on between various parties. Did you notice all the people talking about it? Listen to it. Between the Pharisees, Christ, the blind man who has been given sight, his parents, his neighbors, and the disciples, and everybody's talking about the blind beggar. Everybody's talking. And you know, that's usually what happens when Jesus makes a blind man see. Individuals receive their sight. It starts up a conversation. Because if you don't know, if you haven't recognized it, it's a big deal when one comes to know Christ. And you know, Jesus is not just dealing with this blind beggar on a physical level, but he's dealing with the blind beggar on a spiritual level. And really, it's not about his physical sight. This is about his spiritual sight. Conversations start. And then when you go to verses 24, 25, and 26, it's amazing, amazing, amazing reading. It stands out because of what the man told them. Interesting. After they get, guess what? After they contested his claims to be born blind, he said, listen, you know, I don't know. I don't even know where he is. I don't know. All I know, he said, listen, they asked him, where is Jesus? Where is he? They asked the question. He says, I don't know where he is. I don't know where he is. You're going to find him. He says, you know, I don't know what you've got against him. I don't know what you don't like about him. I don't know why you have no joy. I don't know why you're not talking about him. I don't know what your problem is. And I really don't care. But here's what I can tell you. I was blind, but now I see. Mercy. Woo. You know, I talk about characters of the Bible and people I want to see in glory. Now, of course, the great Jesus, I cannot wait. Marvelous. I don't know if you know. Oh, mercy, thank God I won't be in this fleshly body, you know, when I do. But there are some characters, don't know if it's possible, that I'd love to walk down to their homes and talk with them for a while. Sit on the porch and drink some sweet tea and talk about. Oh, mercy, I can't wait. And I tell you, this blind beggar might be one of them. Oh, mercy. They contested his claims of being blind. Are you following me? And as long as we live and live out our faith, guess what? The world is going to contest our faith. You're going to be contested. You sure about that, Jesus? Are you absolutely sure that he was the one that opened your eyes? Are you certain? Here's your chance to turn around. Are you sure about your testimony? Are you quite certain that you believe in the Jesus of the cross, the one that, you know, was raised on the third day and lived and died and was buried in Joseph's tomb? Are you certain about your faith? This is a good point in the road to turn around. Don't you see the calamities of the world? All of the things that suggest that there is no empty tomb. This is a great place in life to turn around if you want to. Do you sure? Are you absolutely certain? All the world will contest you. But listen to the blind beggar. Woo! You know, the evolution of society is a great example. As it's trying to evolve, and the world is always doing it, into something that will contest our faith. You see, and I really believe because the world's running out of time. Dear God, running out of time. Verses 35 through 38 stands out. I can see it so good. Oh, God. Oh, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. This glass thing is just revolutionized. I mean, I just do this. And whoa, look at that. Like, I love it. I love it. It's like, oh, I just love it. Oh, I bet you've never seen anyone so thrilled about their glasses. My wife just loves it. I said, darling, where are my glasses? My glasses. She's got a few pair for me. The blind man believed on the Son of God because it wasn't just about his physical blindness, but his spiritual blindness. And after being kicked out of the synagogue, but his experiential faith was where he hung his hat. He says, all I know is that I once was blind, but now I see. And I love the way John Newton captured it. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Let me tell you something. I once was like this blind beggar. Mercy. And if you've come to receive, accept the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've confessed with your mouth, believed in your heart, own the empty tomb, the blood of the Lamb, if you've stood beneath the cross and felt his sweat drip in blood, you too have gained your sight. I can see. I can see. The blind beggar, he doesn't know where Jesus is, but he does know he can see. And Jesus didn't come just to give us physical sight, but he came to give us spiritual sight. There are things now that I can see. When I look back over my old life, I say, oh dear God, did I ever live that way? Dear God, be merciful. And when I lived that way, and when I didn't have my vision, I didn't have my spiritual sight, I could not see, I couldn't see anything. It was opaque darkness. I could see nothing. Though I thought I had vision, I had none. And then the Lord Jesus gave me spiritual glasses. And I can see how to serve others. I can see how to love my neighbors. I can see how to forgive others. I can see how to love, irregardless of who you are, your social, economic experiences, your ethical background. It doesn't matter. This gospel crosses all divides. Mercy. I love the way the psalmist put it. Open my eyes, O Lord, that I might see glorious, your glorious work. I told somebody years ago, if you want to see the Grand Canyon, don't go to Florida. You best make your way near Arizona. Because you know, if the Lord Jesus don't open your eyes, open my eyes, you and I will never see it. Only he, through a confession and belief, a devoted, sincere trust in the empty tomb, his blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, and then God opens one's eyes. Well, to close, I've decided that I'm going to wait it out. Though there's calamity all around the world, though there are those that will contest our faith, because years ago I believed on the Lord Jesus. I did, and I'm no perfect being. I have no powers to save anyone. I have none. I am as wretched. I struggle. I am challenged like the next man or woman. But here's what I know. I once was blind, but now I see. That's what I know. So as the world evolves, stay involved. That's number one. As the world evolves, stay involved in the things of God. Don't you be swayed like the blind beggar. I don't know where he is. Mercy. But I do know this. I couldn't see, and I can now. I can see spiritually, not just physically. I can see spiritually. I can see what he's wanting from me. I know what how he wants me to live. Oh, empower me, oh God, to live it out. So as the world evolves, stay involved. As the world contests you, you compete against it. I know what it's like to be a competitor from being an athlete. But the most fierce competitors is as competitive as the Bulldogs all over in Athens, and they are a mighty bunch. As competitive as some of these wonderful teams are that we celebrate are. They are great competitors, but they pale in comparison to someone who was blind. And Jesus comes and opens their eyes and gives them sight. There's no one that competes like a born-again believer. No one. No one. And lastly, as the world changes, you remember he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that glorious to know that our Savior doesn't change with every blowing wind? He's committed, steadfast, solid, sitting above the earth. In absolute total control of all that you see and experience. I love the way the hymn writer said it. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Mercy. These are the proclamations of a blind beggar. These are the proclamations of one who once was blind and can see now. These are the proclamations of someone who has had an encounter with Jesus the Christ. Listen, if you've ever met him, if you've ever encountered him, mercy, when I hear these marvelous worship songs being sang, I think those are individuals who've encountered the glorious, magnificent Jesus. Open my eyes, oh Lord, that I might see how marvelous and incredible you are in the earth and in my life, in the lives of others. So I take seriously my spiritual sight. Because he didn't have to grant it, but he loved us so dearly that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life and be given their sight. I would like to argue in court that I am the way that I am, my passion and my loud. I wear it on my sleeves, and I would argue I'm that way because I'm no longer blind. I don't know where it's all going. I do in the sense of eternity, but this marvelous story, go back and read it on your own time, your own leisure, extract other truths and principles from it. I can only say so much in a given time, and I know I've not totally exhausted that chapter, but boy, I tell you what, it's worth visiting. It really is. It's worth visiting. This Jesus is quite an individual. I've never read anything like him anywhere, seen anybody like him, and if you think for one moment he ever grows stale, that I ever get tired of talking about him, if you think for one moment that he is not the champion of the hill, if you think for one moment that any word he's ever spoken would not come to pass, if you think for one moment he's not returning, if you think for one moment you are sadly mistaken. This glorious, man that makes blind people see is coming again. Mercy, mercy. And you know what? I don't know where you are. I know where I am. I've had the testimonies of others, but I can tell you this, all I care about, I don't know where he is. I'm not always politically correct. I'm not always going to be the one to exegete it like you want it, but I can tell you this, I know this, I once was blind. If you're here today, I want to close this. You know, I want to be exhausted when all this is over. Spiritually, I don't ever seem to think that anything I ever say or do come close to measuring up to what he expects. But maybe the best that I can do is the best that I can do. Maybe that's sufficient. But I hope for you that you would recognize your blindness for what it was, but recognize your sight for what it is. And you be the difference maker in your communities and homes and churches and in this world. I'm not giving up on the cross. You can forget it. I'm not suggesting I don't have fallible things about me. Lord of mercy. And when I just be merciful, I get on my knees and I said, dear God, be merciful. Be merciful. Be kind upon me. But I'm so glad that I have hope beyond this life. As I get older, I look so glorious forward to his return, more importantly, to my meeting him. And as you read your Bible, he's met a lot of people throughout the text. But I love the blind beggar. Because I know what it's like to be blind. And I thank God I can see today.